Whenever you're ready.
When have I ever been ready? Let's just do it.
Okay.
And now it's time for another episode of The Lowdown with its host, David Beach. You can write David at lowdowndavid@gmail.com or follow along at thelowdownpodcast.blogspot.com. And now, here's your host, David Beach.
And so we begin another episode of The Lowdown with me, your host, David Beach, and engineer Wally is back. The Lowdown, short and tall, we cover it all here from our palatial studios in lovely Pasadena, found on the very gracious site NOSSAOnline.com, N-O-S-S-A-Online.com. Probably don't even need to read it because if you're listening to me, that's probably where you are. You can also find us at LowdownDavid.podbean.com. You can subscribe through iTunes. You can follow along on the LowdownPodcast.blogspot.com. You can email me at LowdownDavid@gmail.com or go to the group Facebook.com/TheLowdownPodcast. Yes, I've been spending a lot of time doing the social media, and I apologize. I have not done a podcast in a while, and here's my promise. And we know how good I am at keeping those promises. I am going to try to do one a month next year, and even more importantly, I may be able to incorporate video podcasting. I thought I was going to have that done. Didn't happen. A lot of work that I thought was going to come through did not, and I know I'm not alone in that sort of situation, so I don't feel too bad, but things have turned around. Things are starting to happen. Some weird jobs, some odd jobs, some very unexpected gigs coming my way, and of course I've got this. And the new site, I think I have uploaded all of the old stuff onto lowdowndavid.podbean.com, but now that's the site where I hang out the most with my podcast. I am going to try to populate that podcast with a pod a month. That can't be too hard to do. I mean, I just sit down and do this, and Lord knows I don't really put this together in any sense. I do interviews. I ramble. We've got all sorts of news coming up. I'm going to hang on to a lot of it, but the lawsuit against Starbucks was settled. There's all sorts of stuff coming out here. I'm following Matt Campisi's blog. I've seen some stuff there that I'm going to be reading. I'm going to get his permission to make... Well, I probably don't need his... I should get his permission, though, because it's some awesome stuff, and he's... got some great stuff there. Resentment and the Blame Game was a title of one of his blogs. You should check that out. A title of one of his entries to his blogs, I should say. And here's the whole thing on Starbucks. But you know what? I tell you, this is my favorite thing to do. What I like to do in my podcast is interview people and talk to them and find out what's going on in their life and what they're dealing with, because that is what I feel this podcast is all about, is talking to people who deal with issues, deal with heightism, deal with all of that stuff that's out there, and try to let people know that they're not alone. Because if anybody's listening to this and they're frustrated, and if you're still listening, bless your heart, but if they're listening to this and they're frustrated with height issues or dealing with issues that makes them feel like they're an outsider, I want them to be able to talk about it and hear other people talking about it. And speaking of which, a very last-minute interview with one of my favorite people to talk to, and I have that lined up. Now, here's the sad thing. Halfway through the interview, I realized, well, not even halfway, early on in the interview, I realized something has gone wrong with my recording equipment, and I missed the beginning of the interview, and then I even mentioned it in the middle of an interview, which I'm sure is probably the most utmost professionalism in the American Federation of Television Radio Alliance, or whatever that union is called. But either way, I got what I could, and so it's going to start out in the middle. George is talking about his lovely October gig at Great America and the situation and the shows they were doing, because if you do not know George the Giant, you can follow him on his podcast and find out all the great stuff that's going on in his life, because it is truly a fascinating person I know and one of my favorite friends. And now, ladies and gentlemen, here is another interview. This is George the Giant.
It's been a while, and my head is, because I'm thinking of all the stunts we did. We did glass walking, we did fire eating, we did firecrackers, we did animal traps, we did a tongue in the fan, where I stopped the fan blade with my tongue. We did crazy straw, we did balloon trick, which is I put a balloon up my nose, out my mouth, and have the bubble go back and forth. We did a new stunt, which is I drop throwing knives on my partner's stomach while he lays down, and they bounce off his stomach. We did a lot of stunts, and it's like really hard to remember anything anymore because everything blends.
Ah.
And I'm just a forgetful giant because today's been a hard day. I've been working out in the backyard building a shed at my mother-in-law's house. And I started on Thanksgiving, started at like 8:30 in the morning, worked until 3. Then the next day I worked from around 8:30 to around 5:30. And then today I was so tired yesterday, I didn't get here until noon, and I worked from noon to 5. So I'm now to the point where I'm almost ready to put the roof up. So I'm all excited.
Wow.
And tired. And I've done it basically by myself. My wife has done some painting and stuff, but the actual building has all been me lifting and moving things basically by myself because I'm 7 foot tall and I am the brute squad, so I just move all the walls around. It's kind of funny. I think I recorded some of it. Some of it's going to show up on my YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/giantslife.
That's been getting some more attention, I've noticed. I watch it.
It's getting a little bit more attention. I appeared on Casey LeVere's and also, Shaytard's. Mr. Shaytard did a video where I was in it, and that got me a lot of hits and a lot of subscriptions. But to me, subscriptions don't matter. People aren't watching the videos they're subscribed to. But I've gone to having like 20 people watching my video to 100 to 150. So I have an average of around 150 to 200 people that watch my videos now.
I think we've spoken about it before, at least personally. But now, at what point in time do you start possibly making money off of a YouTube video?
Basically, after you've done it a while, they'll send you a note saying you want to be a member of the club, basically. And I don't even know if I'm ever going to see. I think I'm up to like $10 or something. I have to look. But I don't even care. I'm like, yeah, I'm not even going to care.
More viewers than this podcast gets, and I've got a switch. I keep telling myself it's time to do a YouTube, and I don't, that camera thing. You lent me a camera, and as you know, it doesn't work as well as we'd like, and so I'm back at square one again, trying to get that to work. I don't know if that will ever. I'm hoping some money.
Well, they're really cheap. I mean, you can get ones that aren't the greatest. I mean, Big Lots had a sale for Black Friday for $17. You could get one.
Yeah, and didn't work for Mac.
Yeah, well, what, the one at Big Lots?
Yeah.
You bought it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I bought it before it went down to Black Friday. I bought it to give it a try, and it even said Windows only, and I thought, oh, what do they know? Well, they knew. They knew that. And so,
they knew that you were an idiot.
Yeah, and I took it back. I got my money back, but, I mean, I did feel kind of stupid going, oh, I thought it was for Mac. It says right here it's not. I know, but I thought maybe they were wrong.
I just thought maybe it was me.
Yeah, I thought I was smart enough that I could figure it out, but no. And I think, I think I missed the very beginning of our interview, but that's okay, because I'll just make it sound like we were middle of it. And now that I'm self-referencing.
Yeah.
No, I get what? I get 3 listeners, you included, sometimes. And I actually had somebody, a good friend from high school, said he listened to my podcast and wanted to hear it, Mike McDaniel, so... Anyway, somebody does listen, but I'm nowhere near making financial off of it, and I'm hoping someday I can.
Well, that's why I send midgets your way and everything else.
Now, did you get anybody protesting by any chance your freaky show? Did anybody get upset?
You know, the closest to a protest we get is they sit there, and the first year we went there, Ed Alonzo was performing. The other theater, and someone came up to us and says, you know, Ed Alonzo's much better magician than you are. And we just Yeah, because we're not magicians. Yeah, but... I hope he's a better magician than we are, but I can pretty much guarantee you I'm a better sideshow guy.
But if you're on a, if you're on a stage, you must do magic. Come on.
Yeah, and then it was like we kept getting people coming up going, so what's the real trick? How do you really do it? And we're like, here's the thing, do it. I mean, it's kind of funny because the first of this month, I went to San Francisco and I performed for ER doctors.
Okay.
They do training every year. They have to have so many training hours to remain a doctor. Who knew? And one of the places they can do that is San Francisco. And I was invited to the seminars and to perform at one of the big ones. And it was so funny because I had a doctor that was in the ER when I went in with a punctured esophagus. And he even admitted to me that they did not believe that I had really done that.
Wow.
But they're going, I swallowed a sword. Because, and this is something I did talk about. At the ER thing, I was like, well, you know, I do understand that you guys get people to go, well, I don't know why I have this, like, vibrating sound in my stomach. I don't understand. And then they find some toy in there, and then they go, oh, I must have slipped and fell on it. You're going to know if you do that. And so they're used to people lying to them, I guess. But I'm like going, no, I shoved the sword down my throat. I think I punctured it. Please, can we get an x-ray?
When you said vibrating toy, I totally went with Elmo or something along that line. But no, that's not what you mean at all.
if you can get that up there, man, you have some problems. But I depend on it.
Oh, and I think I heard you mention before that you've come up with a new kind of sword you're excited about. Can you talk about that, or shall it remain secret?
I think I can talk about it. It's kind of under
wraps.
Not under wraps. It's under production.
Okay, because it sounds like a brand new thing. It sounds like a whole new edge to sword swallowing.
I've had this bad tendency of I'll start coming up with something and then all of a sudden I'll find an individual I know doing that stunt. I was getting ready to do a cork gun sword. I was going to have a cork gun hooked to a sword and shoot target.
Ah.
And I found out someone was doing it.
Huh.
But I have now just come up with this new way to propel the sword down my throat. And so I'm in the process of designing it, and when I get done with it, it's going to be very much a Da Vinci theme sword swallowing.
Gotcha.
That I don't think anyone's doing.
It sounds amazing. That no one. I mean, that if you're breaking ground there, that's awesome. I mean, you'll probably get a lot of attention for that. So that's pretty cool.
Well, I mean, I already had Ripley say that they might put it in the comic strip or something if I can come up with it and get it designed right.
So nice.
It's going to be an interesting thing if it works out.
And you brought up one of my favorite routines that truly it had one of my favorite jokes in it, and I don't even know if you're going to know what I'm talking about, but I have to bring it up because I don't know if I've ever told you how much I love that joke. And it's when you're walking on the broken glass and you come across a label of the bottle. Do you recall what you say?
Oh, you mean a paper cut. Those are the worst.
I don't know why I love that so much, but that is my favorite joke during your show.
And you want to hear something really bad? I no longer use that joke in my act.
Why?
I took it out because when you start learning, like when you learn magic, you get a little hint of a type of way to present the trick, like some lines and everything.
So you are a magician.
And then you grow from there. No. Well, I started out doing magic when I was 8 years old.
Ed Alonzo's better.
So, yeah, I wanted to be Ed Alonzo when I grew up. Saved by the Bell. But, you know, the thing is, it gives you pattern, and you learn from the pattern, and that's how you... And then you slowly get rid of that pattern and put in your own.
Right, right.
Use it as a training tool.
Yeah.
Well, the problem with a lot of magicians is they'll take other magicians' lines and use them and claim them as their own when, in fact, they didn't come up with them. And they keep them. They don't get rid of them.
Yeah.
Well, sideshow, there's a few people doing stuff, and there was a gentleman named Jim Rose. That was one of his big lines, was the paper cut line.
Oh.
And after a while, I went, you know, I really don't want to use other people's lines. I want everything I use my own. So I've pretty much thinned everything out, so all the lines I'm using are my own. Nothing from another performer.
I wish I could say the same, but I pretty much stolen everything I have. Carl.
Well, sometimes that works.
Carl Ballantyne is a hero to me. What was that?
The reason why I do it this way now is because I worked with a man named Andrew Goldenhirsch.
Yes, I know Andrew.
And he's a very accomplished magician, and he did one of his best stunts that he did was contact juggling.
Yes.
Well, Michael Motion basically is offended by anyone that does contact juggling because he feels that he created it. And Andrew, being the guy he is, contacted Mr. Wonder, and Wonder basically told him he would prefer if he didn't do it.
Now, I have more of a problem with someone feeling as though they created something that involves just letting a ball run around on their hand than I do have a problem with someone going, you know what, I can do something with that and maybe a little different.
Well, and that's kind of what I tell people. I go, you know, a lot of stunts I do are based on old-time stunts.
Yeah.
And I have changed them to make them into something different.
But still, I mean, he's basically going, look what I can do with this. You're essentially, and I know this is denigrating your show, but you're essentially swallowing a sword, and you're doing other stunts that have been... Now, granted, you've changed the pattern, but he's even saying, no, I'd rather you not do this skill.
Yeah, well, see, I had someone contact me about Crazy Straw. They said, well, I'm working on Crazy Straw. And I went, yeah. And they were like, what do you think? Do you have any advice? I said, yeah. I go, come up with your own lines.
Yeah, exactly.
I said, look, do I feel that I came up with a routine? Yes. But I also think it was a progression. I figured people were going to do it anyway because that's the natural thing of what else can we stick up our nose and make entertaining?
There's that.
That's what it is. And so I don't really have a problem with them doing the routine because I'm like, my wife's more upset about it than I am. I'm like, no, if you're going to do it, do it. Just don't use my line. Because that act I've been doing for almost 10 years.
Wow.
And that act has been knocked down, twisted, and revamped many times during those years.
Yeah.
To what I do now, which I think is a really good, clean act. And for Joe Schmo to come up and start doing my act, which I put all that effort in, it is insulting, and it does upset me.
Wow.
Because I worked my butt off to make that act the way it is. It's a good act.
And it's fascinating, which is why I call someone like you when I need an interview and I want to talk to somebody. Even though we're supposed to be discussing, you know, short and tall issues, I just get drawn into the act. And that's why I gave you a call tonight. So, once again, it is a very short podcast. I'm essentially out of time.
What? Do you want to talk about the height thing? I can do right now.
We just did.
Story that'll make you laugh hysterically.
We just did. That'll be for our next one. Because I'll just,
okay,
from now on, I'm just going to call you.
You know when I gave myself a concussion?
No.
Yeah, see, I was at a smorgasbord, and I went to grab something, and when I came up, they have a little awning to make it look more homey, and I smacked one of the boards in the awning, and next thing I know, I kind of dropped my food, and I sat there for a second. Next thing I know, my wife is going to give me an ice pack, and yeah, so... I then had to call up my real to work and told them that I couldn't come into work because I was at the ER being checked for a concussion.
Oh, jeez. Well, there you go. That sums up the hype.
7 feet tall is quite entertaining.
Oh. All right, well, I'm going to say goodbye. We're going to go back to our podcast now. But, George, once again, it's always awesome talking to you, and I wish you luck in the next year, because I know that performing has been tough for everyone this past year, and we've got to get through this and come out on top.
Hey, you know, with friends like us, who needs any of us?
Okay, thank you. All right.
And that was George the Giant. You can find out more about George the Giant at georgethegiant.com. George, I have to apologize. I lied to you. I said I was never going to see money from this podcast. That's not true. I was sponsored by NOSAOnline.com. You can go to NOSAOnline.com, find out all the great things they do for people with short statured issues, as well as heightism, and pretty much just a great site to hang out on. My podcasts are found there, as well as I have sponsors now. And I'd like to talk just about that sponsor for this podcast. I love creating this podcast. And if you want to start a podcast, I've got the place for you. SchoolofPodcasting.com. They have everything you need to start podcasting. They have step-by-step tutorials, resources, equipment sales, and personal coaching. Dave Jackson has been podcasting since 2005, and he can walk you through the entire process of launching a successful podcast. Check it out at schoolofpodcasting.com. I do want to stress, however, schoolofpodcasting.com sponsored the show. They're in no way responsible for the show. So if you're listening to this show going, why would I go there to learn how to do this? Don't go there to learn how to do it right. You can listen to this podcast, but it is no way a reflection of professional podcasting in any way at all. But I do thank you very much for listening. You have been listening to The Lowdown. I am its host, David Beach, and I am going to do a podcast next month. I'm going to do a podcast every month in the next year. So please, you can find out more about us at Lowdown David at podbean.com. That's podbean.com. lowdowndavid.podbean.com. You can also go to facebook.com/thelowdownpodcast. Thank you very much, and have a lovely, lovely day.